From Paul's house and Storm's house, it's Paul and Storm talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes, on average.
I'm Storm, and we're going to be talking about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes on average. It's Wednesday, September 30th, 2009. This is show 058, and as you can probably guess right now, since I've done the entire intro, Paul cannot join me today. I am alone. That does not mean I'm lonely. It's not even solitude, because I have you, and that's pretty awesome. Thanks for listening. And, well, let's get right to it. 228 minions in the Paul and Storm Brigade of Minions. Go to paulandstorm.com to find out more about that and join, because, yes, you do want to. God, this is weird. I'm probably not going to laugh a lot, because, you know, I know you're listening, and maybe you're laughing. Maybe you're laughing at me right now, but I can't hear it. So excuse me if I don't laugh much, or maybe too much, just to break things up. So what I'm going to do, like usual, this is not going to be edited, and I haven't planned anything for you, per se. Well, okay, I cheated a little. I have one thing planned if I just decide I cannot go on any longer, and I'm going to go to that. But a number of you did heed the call on Twitter and put out some requests. And, you know, I'm going to do more of those than usual, because we don't have the banter thing going on. Well, here we go. The first thing, a number of you expressed pity for me. I appreciate that. Though, as I explained, you know, I'm not even dealing with, you know, solitudinous. We had an awesome show up in Boston and in Northampton and in New Haven this past weekend, which is really powering me through this. Someone mentioned on the Twitters that, indeed, they're sending pity our way. It was sort of a theme in our show, was this whole pity thing. So I'm cool. Thank you. I'd say next to that, the most popular suggestion was to trash talk Paul. All right, let me sit you down for a second. And you should know by now that if I were going to trash talk Paul, I would do it to his face. And I think I have. You know, it's tempting. Sure, it is. But I don't feel like I need to go there. God, I feel like a pontificating douchebag. All right. Ha, ha, ha. Got to break things up. But on the flip side, one brave soul among you, and that would be Nerd Radio Tyler, to be more specific, from Nerd Radio, asked, what is my favorite thing about Paul and why? Now, much as I would never trash talk Paul to his face, I would trash talk him to his face, I probably would not praise him to his face, because he'd get very embarrassed and red-faced and very un-Paul-like. So this is sort of an opportunity to do that, even though he'll probably listen to this and call me a pussy. So if I had to pick one thing, all right, you might think I'd say his sense of humor or his unique creative talents, and you might even think I'd say his high degree of personal integrity. But I'm going to say nay no to any of those as my favorite thing, and I'm going with the thing that's the most awesome about Paul is how interested and excited he gets when he finds cool shit. And if you follow us on Twitter or know him, or even in the shows, you can kind of tell when he has this ability to find esoteric crap on the web, on the street, in his house, Wherever, it doesn't matter. It's like the world is a random crap generator, and Paul manages to find the thing that's interesting. And when he does, he cannot resist the urge to share it. And I think that is beautiful. So, hopefully I don't sound like a jerk for saying that. I don't know why I would sound like a jerk for saying that, but we're going to go with that. The cool shit factor. That's the coolest thing about Paul. All right. Now, moving on, I'm going to go to sort of a more, workmanlike question, sort of a musician craft thing. If you can call me a musician. Yeah, okay, I'll go with that. I think I've gone beyond guitar playing guy to guitarist. And Chris Doobie asks, what guitar do I play? And do I have any guitar smashing stories? Well, I'll go with the second part of it first. I've never smashed a guitar, not mine nor anybody else's on stage or anything. I've thought about it. It's sort of been this, maybe it's a Waiting for Godot thing, where I have my first guitar, which is just a Fender acoustic, which I still have. It's warped all to heck, but I still have it. And I always say to myself, all right, when the most awesome gig in the known universe happens for us, that's the gig where I'll dig this guitar out and smash it. And it just hasn't happened. It's like every time you think a gig is going to be the greatest one of the world, it is, but you know there's going to be one even better, and then one even better than that. And I guess that's a good sign, saying you're on the right track, if you don't feel like, oh, man, no, I'm sorry, but this gig we just booked, there's never going to be anything as good as that. It's just time to quit. So that's that part of the question. The boring part, what do I actually play? My primary axe, because that's what, you know, real guitarists call their guitars, their axe. I play a Martin Dreadnought Cutaway Electric. Technically, it's called a DC Aura. Blah, 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 boring, boring, boring. And then I do have an electric guitar, a Fender Mexican Fat Strat, which I am only now beginning to tap its full potential of. A Fender Squire P-Bass. I guess that stands for precision bass. I'm not sure if maybe they have models that are less accurate that you can buy at a discount that might be for people who are looking for less accuracy, but I have the one that is much more precise and am working to become precise on it myself. Okay, that was half pontificating, half douchebag, and half boring. Let's jump to the final question before I go to the big set piece. This is from Steve I, who asks, what are my favorite comic books now, when I was a kid, whenever? And I have to confess, and I know I'm going to lose a lot of cred here, and I believe this is the same for Paul, I was never a super comic book junkie. That's not to say that I did not occasionally buy comics, read them. I was, no surprise, a cracked magazine, Mad Magazine kind of guy. I liked the humor stuff. And to me, when I was a kid, I didn't go in for the heroes as much. Occasionally I would, as certainly if I was at the dentist's office, I would devour the comics and almost feel guilty for doing so. I know it's weird. I don't know. I pretty much skipped straight from children's books to Asimov. That was sort of my path. I didn't go to the comic books. My parents were both avid readers, and my mom in particular would go through literally two or three books a week. And my dad went through them as well. So we had just these bookcases filled, mostly science fiction, or at least that's all I saw. Maybe there were romances. I do remember the Thornbirds being on the shelf and never picking it up. The cover scared me. But I devoured everything science fiction from about the age of 7, so I didn't really go there. In later years in college, when Frank Miller's Dark Knight series, all those comics, I read those and really appreciated them, and Watchmen, and much more recently, hear that? That's the sound of me being really uncomfortable doing this by myself. Anyway, and then the Sandman series, certainly go in for the idea stuff. The Rock'em Sock'em never did it for me so much. But that leads me to the set piece. Wasn't that deft? Wow, I actually made the 10-minute mark, which was, just about now. And I mentioned children's books. And I do mean children's books and not young adult literature. The actual stuff with the artwork and the short words and the other stuff that kids like. I don't know, colors. I don't know. Kids like colors. So, that's the leading title for the podcast. I have to write that down, if you'll excuse me, because I'll forget it. Paul's the one who remembers things. I've already forgotten it. I'll have to listen to it later. All right. I have a grudge when it comes to children's books. Not just a general thing, but the ones that are considered the good books versus the bad books. In particular, the Caldecott Medal of Honor Awards. I'm not saying it's a bad thing to have that, and I'm not even saying I've kept up with them. I'm just going off of my memory from when I was a child. And I always remember the librarian would bring a book out, and she'd be all, "Oh, children, gather around the rocking chair," because she talked like that for some reason, "because I have this very special book for you. This one was the Caldecott Medal of Honor winner." Ooh, and she'd show the book to the class, and it had that gold seal on it, which made you think, wow, that one cost a lot of money. And she would proceed to read it in her highest minded voice and show off the pictures like she was taking you through an art museum. And that book, I recall, never came off the shelf after the teacher put it back. It was like the one that the parents and the teachers and the thems, whoever thems are, wanted kids to like and appreciate. But I don't think it had a lot to do with what kids would actually like and respond to. So, excuse me, I had to take a pause because I felt like I was pontificating again. Anyway, I am going to cut this part out because the wheels fell off the cart. No, I'm not. I'm going to press on. I want you to see this naked and raw. This is naked right here, here, there. It's gone. Good. Which reminds me, on the road trip, I don't know if you've seen the Where the Wild Things Are trailer. That book was also not part of my experience. It was, I don't know. I didn't get it. And we talked about it in the car, Paul, Jonathan, and I, that it just didn't resonate. It just didn't seem to have a point. There goes that thing again in my throat. I think I'm turning into an old prospector. Anyway, boy, I've gone negative. Let's go positive for a change. Let me tell you about what kind of children's books I did like. I did like the Richard Scarry stuff, or Scarry, or Scorry. They were just odd. In general, I liked stuff that was strange, still do. And I'd like to share with you a story, or maybe two, we'll see what kind of time we have, with a very little-known children's story author. Don't look for it in the library, and I'll also say, don't repeat these stories to kids. This author goes by the name of Uncle Storm, and I'm just going to go ahead and read one of these for you. I'll describe some of the pictures. It's a little hard on a podcast to do that, but, you know, where it's appropriate, I'll go ahead and do it. Okay. All right, let's go with this one. This is The Five Little Pickles by Uncle Storm. Once there were five little pickles. They lived inside a jar, inside a refrigerator. There was barely enough room inside the jar for all the pickles. They were very uncomfortable. And there's a little picture, like the jar takes up the whole page and the pickles are like, ah, ah, ah. One day, the pickles decided something had to be done. The pickles decided to have a meeting. And you see the pickles are all, they're all gathered together. Of course, they're always gathered together, but they're facing each other like they're having a meeting. Okay. We can find another jar, said the littlest pickle. Yes, yes, another jar, said the second smallest pickle. But where do we find one? Said the third smallest pickle. Well, I don't think it's a good idea, said the fourth smallest pickle. The fifth pickle, who was a big chubby half-sour, said nothing at all. None of them could think of a good plan, so the meeting ended. All right, turn the page. Okay, we see the jar again, and there's a little space in the jar. You see the brine where something was. Okay. The next day, the pickles noticed that the littlest pickle was missing. So they had another meeting. We need to find him, said the second smallest pickle. But where could he be? Said the third smallest pickle. Well, at least there's more room in here now, said the fourth smallest pickle. The big chubby pickle belched and said nothing else. The pickles couldn't agree on a plan, so the meeting ended. The next day, the second smallest pickle was gone. So the third smallest pickle called another meeting. Now there's a lot of room and the other two pickles are sort of almost lounging, you know, as much as pickles can lounge, they're lounging. Okay. We need to find him, said the second smallest pickle. But where could he be? Said the third smallest pickle. Well, at least there's more. Well, I read that, didn't I? Wow, I sure did. Sorry, they misprinted this very expensive book and printed that page twice. Hold on. The next day, the second smallest pickle was gone. So the third smallest pickle called another meeting. I think something strange is happening, he said.
I don't know what you're talking about, said the second biggest pickle, wiping his face.
The biggest pickle just laughed.
Ho, 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 ho.
His breath smelled like garlic and vinegar.
Maybe we should take turns standing guard, said the third smallest pickle.
Good idea, said the second biggest pickle. The big half-sour and I will take the first watch.
The next day, there were only two pickles left in the jar. The second biggest pickle turned to the biggest pickle and smiled.
There's plenty of room in here now, isn't there? He said.
Is there? Said the big half-sour.
The next day, Janet opened her refrigerator and saw the pickle jar. There was only one giant pickle inside. The next week, the police came to Janet's house. A giant half-sour pickle answered the door. And there's a picture of this chubby policeman, and there's this huge pickle at the door. It's awesome.
Have you seen Janet?
Asked the nice policeman. He had a shiny badge and a gun.
She left to go live in Hawaii, said the big pickle.
Oh, okay, said the policeman. Sorry to bother you. Then the policeman left, and the giant pickle lived happily ever after. All right. So, I hope you've learned a little something from today's podcast. Paul will be back next week, I do imagine. Maybe I'll trash him next week, since that seems to be what you people really want from me. That's fine. All right. Where are we going to be? This is the part that Paul usually does. Coming up, yes, we are going to be in Ann Arbor with Jonathan Colton, as well as Chicago. You're definitely going to want to be there for that for reasons I can't tell you. Cryptic. We are going to be in Easton, Maryland at the Nightcat on October 16th. And then Woodstock. Yes, it is happening in San Francisco and Los Angeles, October 19, 2021. You know, what's really the point of listing off all the gigs? Go to paulandstorm.com to find out more, where you can also learn about joining the Brigade of Minions. And I'm Storm, and I've been talking about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
Lardy blah blah blah.
Go do things.
friend like me who can't help but speak his mind. And I find
for you.